Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, you are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We are back in the house once again. Man, it's the off season, so we're just going to look for things to talk about, but we're going to keep it spicy for you, that's for sure. So definitely check out what we got coming today. We got Chris Sanders and Run TMC. I want to get his feedback on Cameron Ward and the whole situation with the docuseries and how it's ruffled some feathers locally here, so we'll get into that. I think we need to talk about the cornerbacks too, so we got a lot to talk about. We got Parker Kelly here, and yeah, man.
TD, I was sitting on my couch the other day, and I got sad because it was fun going out to Titans training camp and OTAs, or not training camp, mini camp and OTAs and all that, and I was sitting on my couch the other day, and I realized just how boring life is without football. It's terrible.
Yeah, terrible. The days are really crazy. There's so much spare time, and I hate spare time. I like the structure of having to practice and stuff, and it's just good for the day. Like, it keeps it rolling. You kind of feel a purpose. I mean, look, there's always something to do, right? Something to fulfill yourself, but still knowing your profession is this and not being able to be out there, it definitely does have a little bit of an effect.
Yeah, no, I was just kind of questioning my life at that point. I'm like, what am I supposed to do, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. That's exactly the case. But we did get to see OTAs. We did get to see minicamp. Saw a bunch of it. So in this opening segment, I want to just kind of get into who you felt was your top performer of minicamp, OTAs, et cetera. I'll give mine. We'll name who we feel left some meat on the bone, left a bit to be desired, and we'll I think we'll do those too. I want to get into this Cam Ward situation also, but just more about his performance. So we'll do that. So I'll let you kick it off. On who, if you want me to kick it off, I could do
it. You go ahead and kick it off.
Yeah. So I'll kick it off for me, and actually, both of my selections are going to be from the defensive side, and I got to go with Cody Barton, man. I was really impressed with the leadership from him. Obviously, you have the mic'd up where he's talking to David Benda, and, you know, he's a veteran, Benda's a rookie, and he was, you know, just helping him on what to look for, how things go, digesting the defense. I thought that was cool, that mic'd up segment, and it was even cooler, the next practice after that mic'd up segment, I was watching. I said, you know, let me focus on him. And here it was. He and James Williams were off the field, they were off to the side. They weren't in for that rep. And he's pointing things out. Like, I see him pointing and directing and saying, hey, this, that, and the third. You don't know what he's saying, obviously, because they're on the other side. But I like that. I like, even though you're a new guy, you're taking the others under your wing and you're telling them, like, hey, look, you know, this, this, and this. I thought that was exciting. But then, not to mention, I mean, he picked Cam Ward off twice. One of them, and I like the fact that he did that because, like, on the first one, Cameron Ward didn't look off. Like, he didn't, like, move the linebacker. He kind of locked in, and that allowed Barton to read it, and he went and he swiped in there and swooped in there and took the pass. And then he had another interception during a 7-on-7 on the last day, I believe it was, where Cameron Ward tried to throw against his body. But I would say he was my top performer.
Well, since you went defense, I'm going to go offense. And this one is probably pretty obvious, but Bryce Oliver, especially on that last day. He had three touchdowns on that last day of minicamp. We're talking about an undrafted guy from Youngstown State who was in a competitive wide receiver room last year, another competitive wide receiver room this year. The battles in training camps specifically are going to be really interesting. But talking about a guy that kind of just stuck around and hung around last year, and then he's back this year, and he's really starting to show. And Tyke Tolbert even talked about him getting opportunities and making the most of it. And he he did on the last day of minicamp. And every time I'm out there, I always notice Bryce Oliver. He just seems to be making plays. So Bryce Oliver's my guy.
Yeah, that last day he had was exceptional. And he's a guy that is he's one of 13 receivers fighting for a spot. That's a big group. So I like that selection. He and Van Jefferson, Mason Kinsey, I think Ridley was there too. They were working out at Ravenwood High School last week. So, you know, they're staying local. That's what's up. I like that pick. Now, as far as guys that you wanted to see a little more from, did you have anybody?
I do. And there's one guy that just keeps popping up in my mind, and that's Josh Wiley. And I just – I talked to Josh Wiley last year, and I asked him, I'm like, you play – like, he's a big guy, and you can't help but notice his size, his frame. And I asked him, I'm like, you play the tight end position like a power forward in basketball. Like, how are you so good at using your body? Like, he had a bunch of possession catches last year in training camp, I remember. And the way he's just able to, like, just use his body almost to box out the defender and come down with the ball. I want to see more of that. Like, I want to see more of that, not just in practice, because everyone's a superstar in practice, but I want to see that in the games. But I think it boils down to health for him. So I think he could be a weapon, especially in the goal line situation. But, man, I just want to see more.
Yeah, that is a very good pick. I didn't even think of him, but that's a very good pick. I stayed defense, and I went with Xavier Woods. Not – to say he underperformed, but he didn't pop out like I thought he would. And for me, like, safety, and it was crazy because, like, the first day I remember on that far field, and I'm like, wow, he's a traffic cop out there, man. He's directing things. They don't even see it anymore. So I don't know, like, what happened there or if I was looking at things differently. I don't know, but that was my – where I felt that there was more to be desired because they talked about this obnoxious communication. That's been Denard Wilson's, his calling card, what he's demanded, and it wasn't happening out there. So I would say that about Xavier Woods. We'll see how things go. Like in training camp, like some guys, the pads come on and they come alive. It's like you hit a button, you know, like you put a battery in them and they all of a sudden they're energized, but we'll see.
Yeah. And I spent more time with the offense throughout, like, OTAs and things like that just because it's a little bit easier to see the offense than the defense. But, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, we heard a lot when the Titans signed him about his durability and how he's kind of like an Iron Man type player, which is great. Like, the Titans need that. But as far as, like, from the safety position, I felt like even if I didn't spend as much time around the safeties per se – I feel like we just saw more out of Amani Hooker than really any other safety. So I'm with you. Maybe it changes when the pads come on because it's completely different when, you know, you start hitting and everything. So hopefully we do see more out of Xavier Woods by training camp.
Yeah, and it wasn't that I spent time with the defense. I'm talking about 7-on-7, team yep. period. Like, you know, that's when they got to talk more than any other time. So that was really what I was looking at. I thought the secondary was going to be a strength coming in, but I think it's an area of concern. And I want to ask Chris about what he thinks about that, you know, specifically the cornerbacks. But I mean, look, third round pick, Kevin Winston Jr., you know, Marcus Harris. We'll get into the rookies later, but I didn't see what I thought I would see from the secondary. And I think their grade is incomplete. But one of the guys that did pick on the secondary is Cameron Ward. So I just want to get your overall outlook of Ward, OTAs, minicamp. What did you like? What did you not like?
I was always impressed by his ability to play the quarterback position like a shortstop in baseball. All the different arm slots and angles. And I really like how this guy, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this, especially with Chris, about his docuseries that's coming out, but, like, he seems like he's all ball, you know, staying after practice for however 30 minutes to throw with his receivers. Like, he seems like he's focused. He's dialed in. It's been talked about the 5 a.m. film study with some of the receivers. I don't think, and it's, again, it's just practice. I didn't expect to see Patrick Mahomes out there during, you know, his rookie offseason. But I feel like he did everything well enough, and I'm excited to see how he looks in training camp. I'm excited to see how he looks in the preseason when he plays, and then obviously week one and beyond. But I liked what I saw.
Yeah, no, I liked what I saw for the most part. You got to see him bounce back from a mistake. You saw him take command of the huddle, the trash talk back and forth with Jeffrey Simmons, and still, you know, being able to get the ball to Chigakonkwo on that very next play. The improvising also, because that time where Simmons would have sacked him, they, you know, let the play go on, and he did one of those Mahomes types of things, right, where he flicked the ball forward. I believe it was Tajay Spears got it, and it, you know, he took off, and it was a nice little gain. You saw the throw to Gunnar Helm on the seam just over the linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty clear, like, this man has confidence, and he's shown that he likes to work the middle of the field. And that those where the big boy throws are. Like, that's where you really separate yourself. That, and then the way that he handled the sink being thrown at him. I mean, look, man, they were double in interior gap, double A gap blitzing. They were coming off the edge. They were stunning twists, loops, all that stuff. Sending the corner off the nickel, sending the corner from the, you know, outside spot. And he was able to recognize the different things. And he had his share of trouble, but he also had his successes. Case in point, he recognized the blitz on the one play, and he checked, and Calvin Ridley ran a post, and he delivered that.
That was beautiful.
I think it was Anthony Orgy was looping inside, number 90, looping inside, and was right there ready to, you know, could have hit him. And he stood it down and delivered a strike.
Yeah, no, that's a big thing. The poise and the constant, you know, flat line, never get too high, never get too low. But, I mean, you'd see plays in 7-on-7 where he'd throw a pick, but then he'd respond by completing 14 straight passes or whatever. So that ability to, and it's evident throughout his college tape as well, he makes a mistake like he did in the Cal game, but he goes on to eventually win the game by making big play after big play. And I think that was – phenomenal to see from a rookie, and it's hard not to have high hopes for him.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure the fans, they have a lot to be excited about. But here, look, it's only OTAs, mini camp, so stay grounded. But also at the same time, for every yin, there's a yang. So I want to get into some of the things that, you know, were somewhat concerning. And for me, I saw him still continue, and I remember watching, posting some of the clips right when the season was over. And it was Virginia Tech game. He was rolling to his right, just like he was on the two of the three interceptions, rolling to his right, and he threw back across his body. Now, in that case, it just kind of got dirted, but there were two interceptions on day three of minicamp that same way. So I just want to see, is this something that could emerge as a habit where it's known in the league, hey, if he's rolling to his right or left as the defense, just be ready backside because you're probably going to get a chance to make a play on the ball.
Mm-hmm. Even on that last day, he was rolling left, threw back across his body right into the middle of the field, which is a cardinal rule sin. Like, you don't do that if you're a quarterback. Don't get greedy. That's probably, if I could give advice to him, like, he is going to take his chances, and he did that with Gunnar Helm on the seam that, you know, we've been talking about. But also knowing when the play's dead, just throw it away. You cannot throw back across your body in the middle of the field when it's congested like that.
Yeah, and in those two instances where that happened, they were doing red zone. And so now you're in position, you're in scoring position, right? You throw an interception, you're taking points off the board.
At minimum,
at minimum 3 points.
Right.
So you got to, hey, look, live to see another play, put some points on the board, and do what you got to do. So that would probably be my area for improvement. As far as Ward himself, you know, I asked him, you know, what ways he could get better. And he talked about, you know, being able to see the – adjust to the speed of the defense, you know, especially the corners on the outside, how he can't put as much on the ball, loft on the ball as he once did before. And then he talked about the speed of the guys up front getting to him. And then you also have to look at the ability to read things. Like these guys at this level, they're going to read, diagnose, and react a little bit quicker than, you know, when you're playing against, you know, Clemson or somebody. So that's something that he acknowledged and he said that he's going to work on.
Yeah, it's not the Virginia Tech defense, not the Cal defense, not the Georgia Tech defense, right? And even though the Titans have had their share of struggles, it's still an NFL defense.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So we'll get into a little more Cam Ward in this next segment of Run TMC. We got to get into these rookies as well, so stay tuned.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
All right, as the music fades, the lights dim. Here we go. And now, starting at point guard for your Portland Trail Blazers. From Alfred Lawless High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. Number 14, Robert Peck.
And now, the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, Nolan Richardson.
He used to kill me with that spoon shape up, man.
Oh, my goodness, man. His little hair, his little fro that he had, the uneven.
Yeah, I mean, he had the spoon shape up with an uneven fro.
With no edge up.
No, and it was the shape of like a spoon.
Be like, you want to edge up? Nah, I'm good.
I'm good, man. I don't need that alone, man. I don't need no edge.
What's cracking, big dog? How
nothing, been, man. Hey, listen, the offseason is here. We are creeping towards July.
Know.
We got, this is the week of Juneteenth also, so we got to shout
that
out.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
And like I said, we're creeping towards July, and you know what that means. July 5th, your boy is going to be 49 years old. I'm going to be celebrating in Queens, New York.
Wait a minute.
Yes, sir. 49.
You tell me I'm older than you, man. I'm 53.
Hey, listen. I always say it like this, oldie but goodie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. When they ask, they say, "Hey, you look good. How old are you?" Oh, I'm 48, but don't get twisted. I'm an oldie but goodie. You heard me. All right, let's get back on track, man. It is the off season, so there's always going to be room for a little just acting up. I want to talk about this though because it's become a pretty hot topic here in Nashville, and obviously, and one thing I found. Is I don't care who you are, you know, Jesus himself, he walked on water, and they say, hey, why don't you swim? Okay. They're always going to try to find something wrong with you, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So the new thing to find wrong with Cameron Ward is a docuseries being done on him that was done on him. I don't know for sure if it's a 6-part docuseries all on Cameron Ward or if he's one of the episodes that hasn't really been clarified, but nevertheless, it is a documentary on Cameron Ward. It's going to stream on Tubi, and low-key, Tubi's a dope streaming
man,
service.
Man, what?
When I would get it to all that.
You already know it.
But here's the deal, though.
Yeah.
This seems to be a problem among some of the media here.
Oh, my. Come on, man. Okay, why? But Here's why I believe this can be a positive. There might be a kid that maybe grew up in the same situation he did and had to overcome adversity to maybe give somebody some life to say, you know what, if Cam Ward can overcome that, if Cam Ward can, you know, transfer to different schools, Cam Ward can, when everybody said he wouldn't be able to make it, all of a sudden get drafted the first round of the 2025 draft, I think it would inspire people. So why is it wrong for somebody to tell their story? Just imagine if one of the writers or one of the people that are upset or having a problem with it, what if you want to do a book on yourself? Why can't Cam do something that's going to inspire people to be great? What's the difference?
Hey, Chris, this is the thing that's so intriguing to me is
– I don't get it.
He's not even doing that. Like their cameras covering what he's doing anyway.
Right.
So it's not like this is some extra thing. Hey, you know what? Hold on, Brian Callahan. I'm not going to learn whatever concept.
Right.
Because I got to focus on this documentary. That's not the case. A lot of this and a lot of this, the hay is already in the barn. It's documenting from when he was a zero star till now.
See, could you please say that again? From zero to a hero. You know, because the thing about it is, TD, is everybody has a story, and he wanted to put it out there to inspire people that you could overcome adversity. But why is it when different athletes are acting silly and acting crazy in on the off season and, you know, fighting people and cussing people out and doing crazy stuff, we get on them. But when you got a person that's doing something positive that wants to help people overcome adversity, then why do you have a problem with that also? It's like hindsight 2020 that if you do good, you do bad, then it's just basically the same. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's really in essence a catch 22. The guy can't do right or wrong. But not even that. It's, no matter what he does, it's wrong, you know, because if he doesn't do anything, you're going to have those who say, hey, man, like, he has a great story. He could be an inspiration. Why isn't he sharing it?
Absolutely.
So some of the feedback that I've gotten is that, hey, why don't you wait until you win a Super Bowl to do it? But it's just, to me, I think this young man has already shown that what the main thing is, and that's football. I just think it's a lot of just extraness, and it seems like there are factions of this media group, of this fan base, that can't exist without negativity.
Right.
That's kind of the gauge I'm getting.
Okay, can I say something? I'm not making this a black and white thing. I'm really not. I'm just saying, why when Aaron Rodgers does something and don't go to camp and goes in the cave, everybody celebrates him because they celebrates him and say, okay, he's trying to find himself and trying to make himself better. But then when Cam Ward does it, oh man, he's not focusing on football. He's not doing this, but he doesn't get in trouble on the offseason. I mean, I know it's going to be his first offseason. He doesn't get in trouble, you know, when he was at the University of Miami. He's not out there acting crazy. He's doing something positive that's going to help people. So, you know, why are we nitpicking a guy that wants to use his story to help people win in their stories in life?
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't even know for sure that this is something that he is, like, aggressively doing. Because the man hasn't said a thing about it.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? He hasn't said a thing.
Oh, my God.
And the other thing that I know, because I know Stillman was saying it, he had a problem with Firebrand Media Group, which is, you know, they're working with Tubi to release it. It originated with Firebrand. Now, one thing we do have to understand, just like, you know, the 57 Chevy is different from the 2026 Chevy.
Right.
Today's athlete is different from the former athlete. Even just from when you were playing. You're an individual brand, right? So with that comes what? Brand management.
Right.
So we're going to go back to Firebrand. We're going to go back to Firebrand, who Jarrett has an issue with. Because I heard him talking about it on Tuesday. And so I had to text him and say, hey, listen, I want you to stop talking from ignorance again, right?
Yeah.
5815 is actually the group And that's who Cam Ward is associated with, right? Okay. And so Stillman didn't like that he had ties to Firebrand Media Group, has an agent, and he said, oh, well, there's too much going on. No, there's not too much going on. He doesn't have an agent, first off. He has a legal team that looks over the contract, but he doesn't have an agent, okay? Now, the group is actually 1558. I had it mistaken. They are a marketing and NIL entity.
Right.
High school athletes have NIL and marketing companies working with them. So, that being said, it is far from too much going on. And again, like, I'm not excusing, I'm explaining. But I think if we're going to, try to put this out there that this guy has too much going on, at least do the research and know what group is what. That's all I'm saying. And that's exactly what I text him.
See, they're not doing a story about Firebrand. They're doing a story on Cam Ward. What is it?
Well, he doesn't like that he's associated with a media group. He thinks that's too much.
Wait a minute. Okay, time out. Okay, let me break this down to you also. We all have Facebook, right? We all have Instagram, right? We're all presenting a story on our Facebook page. We're all presenting something on our page that represents our life.
Wait a minute.
You work on...
Did you not know you didn't get the memo that football players are only allowed to concern themselves with football? You didn't get that memo?
We have a life, man.
No, you don't.
We gotta live out.
No, you don't. You are a pawn for enjoyment. That's how a lot of these people talk about those guys. They're a pawn for enjoyment.
Yeah. Can I break this down to you? You know, I was watching. I didn't know a lot about Ray Lewis. All I knew was he was a great linebacker. I knew all the stuff on the football field. But then I went back and looked at a thing they did on 30 for 30 on Ray Lewis, and I was like, this is what makes this guy tick. This is why he's a great leader. This is why he loves his mom. This is why he loves his team. If I wouldn't have seen none of that documentary, I'd have just known that he was a good football player. But now I know this. What made this guy cry? This guy paid the price. This guy worked hard. This guy loved his mother. This guy loved his brother. He told his brother that mama ain't gonna have to work a day in his life when he had to leave his brother.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? That's a story that inspires somebody that may be in Florida, that may be in Alabama, that's looking at this man's life to say, you know what? If Ray Lewis can do it, if Cam Ward can do it, if TD can do it, if Chris Sanders can do it, then guess what? I can do it. So what is wrong with that? Now, if we was out there cussing people out, fighting at the bars and this and that, you'd be like, oh, he doesn't belong in the league. But he's doing something positive.
No. Just throw touchdowns.
It's crazy.
And nothing else. That's the attitude.
I don't get it.
But that's enough about that, because I don't want to get off on too much of a tangent. I want to talk about this cornerback situation because, you know, so many times – well, you saw Jair Alexander. He signed with the Ravens on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So many times you see during OTAs and minicamp, Calvin Ridley will catch a pass, or Alec Ayomanor will catch a pass, and you'll be like, wait a minute, who is 35 again? Oh, hold up. Who is – no disrespect to them, right? No disrespect to Kimbrel. No disrespect to Anthony Orgy. Davian Ross. Excuse me. Davian Ross, who picked Cam Ward off. No disrespect to them, but there's a lot of – man, let me double check and see who that is again.
Yeah.
When a receiver is catching a pass, or even when a play is happening. What do you think of the secondary? Obviously the way, I did see LeJarius Sneed – he was actually there at the facility. I saw him and his son on family day. So he is there. But what do you make of the secondary group?
I'm concerned a little bit, and I'm going to tell you why, because I went out to practice a couple of weeks ago, and all the receivers were consistently getting by the defensive backs. I mean, I was every time I looked up 7-on-7, they were getting by. Then you get the team, and then you get to, you know, different periods in practice that they were consistently getting behind guys. And you got the guy that consistently was getting behind the guy was Van Jefferson, and Van Jefferson is not known as a speed guy. Yes, he's a long strider. He runs great routes, but he was consistently getting behind the secondary. So that is a concern. And if Snead doesn't come back, you know, we got Brownlee, we got him. But after that, at the cornerback position, you know, who's a guy that has a top end speed? Who's a guy that can be a corner that can take maybe the field corner or the boundary corner? So it's going to be interesting to see actually what happens, because when I was watching it out there, I was like, man, the secondary is getting blitzed. So if the front doesn't get after the quarterback and that quarterback has time, like C.J. Stroud or somebody like that, man, it's going to be slim pickings, and they're going to be just throwing it over their head each and every time.
Any free agents or cornerback options you would look at?
I mean, we got to find some. I'm not sure, you know, because I have to do my research and study, but you got to find a veteran guy that can come in here. You know, not just a veteran guy. You got to find a guy that has that top speed. And one guy we maybe kind of talked about off the air is Jalen Ramsey. So that maybe could be a possibility. But for me, this is just me personally, I wouldn't sign him because – you know, when you have a locker room where you're trying to build a culture of guys being, you know, unselfish, I just think that I would shy away from that. Even though the athletic ability is insane, I just think that I'll find a different guy.
And, you know, here's the thing. I wouldn't suggest the Jalen Ramsey acquisition, because by the time this team is good and, like, truly competitive, talking about competing for, you know, AFC South Division title, he's probably going to be a fading asset. So do you want to, what does that get you right now? And obviously every team, every year, their goal is to win the Super Bowl. I'm not mistaken, but the teams have realistic expectations and understand that there's a projection. And let's face the facts, this Titans team is not projected to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I think with Jalen Ramsey, I just think it gives you opportunity to maybe win now. Does that make sense? I mean, because, you know, if you look at the Tennessee Titans, the last couple of years, they've been dismal and, you know, there was nothing to really cheer for. So I know he may be in the latter part of his career, but I still think that, you know, he can maybe come in and give you maybe 1 year, but just kind of, just for me personally, because I'm being careful, I'm talking about the football player, not the guy. I just think that when you're talking about you want a locker room of guys that are on the same page, I just wouldn't bring him in, even though his skill set is out of the roof. So I just think that this organization is going to have to go out and find somebody that has some top-end speed that can play and really cover some receivers. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you don't have no corners, man, and you try to blitz, you are definitely in trouble.
There's nothing there in a free agent. You look at James Bradbury, no. Kendall Fuller,
no.
At one point was attractive, no. Rasul Douglas is a good corner, but he's a zone corner. Stephon Gilmore, he's an oldie but goodie, like me. Mike Hilton is a nickel. C.J. Henderson, right. Never met the potential. Mm-hmm. Shaq Griffin, no. I mean, no. So
what do you do?
They're just going to have to roll out what they have. Hope that Jarvis Brownlee Jr. could continue to evolve and ascend. And then also, look, Snead. Well, let me ask you this. Would you swap out Snead's contract for Jalen Ramsey? Let's look at the terms.
Yes, I would. You know why? I would. Because if you look at the track record of Snead, I mean, he's consistently hurt. Snead last year, he didn't really play that much last year.
Right, last year, but you look at before that, like, this is a dude that was playing like 96%.
That's a great point. You're right about that. I'm just looking at last year.
Here's the thing. But, I mean, look, last year does have value because last year we saw what happened, and like, that's an injury that we haven't gotten all the news on, and it's clearly –
still out.
It's still, yeah. So, Snead, you got 4 years, $76.4 million. Ramsey, let's see how many years. So Snead has 2 years left on his deal.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what Ramsey has left on his. Let me look at that real quick so we could figure it out. 30 years old, Ramsey is. Yeah, he's under contract for a bit.
Ooh.
So he's set to be through 2028. That's right, because I forgot about the extension he did.
That's right.
Yeah. I would probably see, I mean, honestly, so you got 3 more years of Snead or 4 more years of Ramsey. Now, of course,
I'll go with Snead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd grow with Snead 100%. I didn't know the contract situation was like that, because I think that Jalen Ramsey's great athlete, physical specimen, but I think he's tapering off a little bit. I mean, because if you look at the last couple of years, he's been playing. He makes plays in spurts, but sometimes, man, that joke is getting toasted sometimes too. You know?
Yeah, he's not the same player. You know, he's not the same player.
But he's a phenomenal athlete, because I work at Montgomery Bell Academy. He was at Brentwood Academy, and coaching against him, I'm like, man, this dude is incredible. And to give you a funny story about Jalen Ramsey, you know, he ran track at Brentwood Academy. That joker jumped 25 feet in height.
Yeah, I heard.
and he wasn't even really long jumping the whole year. He just went out there, boom, 25 feet. What in the world? And then jumped 6'8" in the high jump. That just shows you what kind of athlete he is.
Yeah. No, I get it, man. So we'll see what happens here. But that's something that I definitely thought we needed to talk about, because I did find myself so many times like, who is this? Let me double. I think it's so and so, and then I got to double check. Yeah. Oh, all right. Let's end it on this. Roger McCreary. Sure. Do you extend him?
Yes, I would. I mean, even though, you know, he doesn't have a lot of interceptions, but he's consistent around the football, man. I love what he brings. He brings a level of toughness that the Tennessee Titans really, really need. I know their front is good, but then we have him playing the nickelback. I mean, if you look at some of the games that he played, they were consistently saying his name. So I think it was the Chicago game. He made some big plays in the Chicago game to where he was consistent around the football. So I really, really would, because there's a nickelback that you don't have to go in free agency to go get. So I definitely think you should keep him.
Yeah, we'll see. It almost feels like the Marcus Harris pick was made as insurance for that. But
yes.
There's going to be a lot to talk about this offseason. We have plenty of time to do so. So I appreciate you coming on. We'll continue to keep this thing rolling next week.
Monty Hooker, and I'm talking with TD.
I kind of just want to let that play, man. That's a dope beat. G Herbo went legit. Back from the break, talking with TD, man. We're going to wrap this thing up by getting to it. About these rookies, man, this is a pretty promising rookie class. Again, it's early, but I think right now things are looking pretty up, and there's still more to come. And I guess we'll start it off this way, Parker. Outside of Cam Ward, we talked about him. Who would you say is your most promising rookie of this group?
Alec Ayomaner.
Yeah.
This is an easy one for me. I thought he would be a higher round pick than a fourth round. I thought he might have a chance of going on night two. But I loved him coming out of Stanford. I never forgot what he did to Travis Hunter in that Colorado game in 2023. And he's a guy, even the Syracuse game from this past season, like that's when he really, you know, jumped off the screen to me. And when the Titans took him, I was ecstatic. And he's a guy that I believe will, and you believe too, will be the starting X receiver when it's all said and done. He just continues to catch my eye in practices. And he's a big body. He has a really great physique for a wide receiver, but he's more than a big body. I feel like he's got a little bit of wiggle to him too. Crisp route running. He's had a couple drops, but not something to where it's like noticeably bad or anything, but I really like Alec Ayomaner, and I think he'll be a big contributor for this wide receiving group.
If I'm not mistaken, he had a one-hander in that Syracuse game, right?
He did. Yeah, yeah, I remember
that. Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's funny you mentioned the drops, because that was like on day one of OTAs, and the first time we were out there. So it's like, all right, I get it. Like, new surrounding, you're trying to – there's nerves, it's going to happen. But after that – first couple of days or whatnot, it didn't really surface as much. So I'm with you. He was the name that came to my mind at first, and I knew one of us was going to say him, whoever actually spoke first. And I'm with you, the starting X. I love the way he's latched on to Calvin Ridley. I think that's something that really needs to be noted. And I talked to him about that, you know, because the way he always sells that go route, you know, off the ball, like he's exploding off. And he plays with a little more of a sense of urgency, right? And naturally, if you're going to watch Calvin Ridley and imitate him, you're going to play with more urgency because, yeah, there's something on the line every time that dude hits the line of scrimmage. So I like that. I like that. And then also the time that they're spending with the 5 a.m., right? I think that's a really good thing, just in that he told me that that's allowing him to feel more comfortable, and going through the game plan and the script for later in the day has helped him a lot. So shout out to the rookie class, the rookie receivers doing that. So you picked Io Manor. Xavier Restrepo. I'll pick him. And, you know, his family was at – his mom and his dad, I think it was his little brother, they were there at family day on day three. And I had met them at the combine. We were sitting together for the first set of workouts. So we recognized each other and we were talking. I told him, I said, look, man, Xavier probably has had like 20 catches this week. Mm-hmm. You know, they just started laughing. It was like more of the same. I love the way he has a feel. Right, like he knows where to settle and find the window. He knows how to get open too. You saw him run that route against Jarvis Brownlee Jr. and Cam Ward hit him on the crosser, and it was a nice completion. Does he make the roster? I don't know, but he's going to make the competition very exciting. I cannot wait to see him in one-on-ones going against the Falcons and the Bucks. You know, let alone the Titans corners as well. Before they break off into those joint practices. So, yeah, I'll go with Xavier Restrepo.
Yeah, it's so funny because I was actually thinking about Xavier Restrepo on the way in. I was thinking, like, he reminds me a lot of, like, a Julian Edelman or a guy that he's watched, Wes Welker, just the ability to fill out the zone. And he's not going to burn you down the field per se, but he has a great ability to find open holes and just find the green grass, sit it down, and that chemistry with Cam Ward is already, you know, very evident. But even if he doesn't make the 53, which I want to believe that he is going to make it, he'll at least be here. Like he'll be practice squad or he'll be here. So yeah. I am excited though to see how he goes up against other corners that are not, you know, your Gabe Judy Lally's or Jarvis Brownlee's. So
right. This is going to be the thing, though. If they do, I think it might be a struggle pushing him through to the practice squad. I could see a team claiming him. You know, we'll see, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone does. So it's going to come down to, you know, how those politics work as far as do they hide him on the roster to keep him from getting claimed or what. And that could impact the guy that you mentioned in Bryce Oliver. It could impact Traylon Burks. It could impact, you know, James Prochet. We'll see. But that's something. I will say this. Restrepo was easy for me to mention, but I'm not going to let this conversation go and not say something about old Femi Oladejo.
Oh.
And let me tell you something. He was giving J.C. Latham work. And this is showing me that, hey, look, you know what? That weight that Latham lost is good. It's good because he was able to – recover on one occasion. Oladejo was coming off of the defense's left, obviously the offense's right side, and he got a good jump and he was able to, you know, get Latham to have to, like, you know, really, really get back in his drop. And then he recovered and he had to run the arc a little bit wide, and Ward was able to step up, and that was when they were in third down period, and he threw across his body, running to the left, across his body to the left, to DK, Chimere DK, and it was a completion for a first down. He also was terrorizing, Brandon Crenshaw Dixon?
Oh, yeah, the undrafted guy from Florida, yeah.
Who I think has a chance to make the roster, but like, he forced a false start on him. Then he just ran right around him and got a sack, and he got a sack on the final day, he and Tavondre Sweat. But this is the thing above all else that I love about him. And I said it to him at the end of practice on day three. He has energy for days. And watching him, like, there were a couple times where he was on the left, right? They ran it to the right. And, you know, Tajay Spears, Tony Pollard, they're running to the end zone. And you see them running to the end zone, and then you see number seven, the action figure, right, running after him. I like that. That's the effort that you want. That's a motor, you know. So we'll see how that continues to happen. I can't wait to see when the pads come on and see him continue to develop as a pass rusher.
And that's no exaggeration about his energy. Yeah. Like, in talking to him after practice, I mean, he's he's an awesome person to to get to talk to. But you can kind of see like what the Titans were seeing. You know, this is a guy that moved from inside linebacker to edge rusher during his senior year. So obviously there's going to be a transition phase for him, but you can see the upside. I mean, dude is yoked for one, and he's got some athleticism to him, you know, just straight speed rush, just ability to get around the tackles. So I'm excited to see how he develops his tool bag as far as different pass rush moves that he can use. But I mean, you want a guy like this who I have no doubt in my mind he's going to be a leader. He could be a leader as a rookie, just how he's able to uplift everyone else around him and the energy that he plays with, because it is contagious. You need a guy like that. Yeah. So, I totally see the upside.
And it's funny, at Calvin Ridley's – or no, not Ridley's camp, at the youth camp that the Titans had, I forget what school it was at, but they had one just before minicamp. And I remember, because it was a whole rookie class, and I remember talking to Jim Wyatt, you know, and I'm like, I hear Femi. I didn't see him coming off the bus. I hear him. Where is he? You can hear him before you see him. He's one of those. It reminds me of Brandon Graham from that way. But more interesting is this, though. He told me that, because I asked him about playing middle linebacker and how, like, my big thing is, okay, how do you develop this young man? Like, do you allow him to have all the responsibilities of a true outside linebacker where you got to read keys and drop and, you know, do this, that, and the third? Or do you just say, hey, look, man, third down, go get the quarterback. Go get him. And Ben Bloom said that they're going to, you know, they're not going to just have him be a pass rusher. Denard Wilson said they're going to throw the sink at him and see what sticks. But he told me that, you know, playing middle linebacker and being used to have to see everything, it's allowing that to work for him easily.
Yeah, he could kind of rely on that past experience to also be able to drop back in coverage a little bit, you know, maybe cover the flats or, you know, some of the hook curl zones. I'd say that he'd definitely be able to rely on that experience heavily. But I like the idea of, because when Kenneth Murray was brought in, it was more so just get after the quarterback. Just don't think, just go. With Femi, you're throwing more at him, again, seeing what sticks.
Yeah.
So we'll see how much different that will be compared to Kenneth Murray.
Yeah, and the thing is with that, it's more the viewpoint, getting used to seeing the whole field. That's the main point that I think you look at from the middle backer. But that's about it for this week, folks. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll definitely continue to rock with us and check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening material. Search Talking With TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.